The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood, in the country looking hard to find a home, with nothing perfect or considered.
Bonjour, hi. It is Friday, June 26th in the year of the plague, 2020. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside of the Beltway. The number one story of the day, of course, is the virus exploding in places like Texas and Arizona, Florida, and, of course, its return to some of the states it's battered before, Washington State, New York State. It's everywhere, actually. The CDC chief says that the coronavirus cases may be 10 times higher than reported, a factor of 10. In the New York Times this morning, the reason is given in their lead story about the virus, headlined as virus surges, younger people account for, quote, disturbing number of cases. That's actually good news. I hate to put a pop the bubble of the New York Times. It's better when younger people have it than when older people have it. This increase reflects a simple reality, the New York Times reports. Since many states have reopened bars, restaurants, and offices, the coronavirus has been allowed to spread more widely across communities, including to more young people. People in their 20s and 30s are likely to go out socializing, experts say. Experts. Yeah, 20s and 30-year-olds are more likely to go out socializing, experts say. Dwayne, how about that? Have you got an expert to come up with that one, that 20 and 30-year-olds are more likely to go out to clubs and bars? That's a real, real expert call right there. Dr. Robert Redfield, the director of the Centers for Disease Control, said younger people have helped fuel the increase in known coronavirus infections. And then in the past, many of those infections went undiagnosed. Yeah, okay, so look, that's just the way it's going to be. Texas has paused its reopening, slowing down, saying we're not going to urge you to get out as much and as fast as often. But the good news is we're at nowhere near hospital capacity. Arizona, which is the hardest hit with the oldest population, still has plenty of beds, plenty of ICU capacity. Hospitalization rates have dropped dramatically. If you get it, it's nasty. If you're younger, it's not deadly. If you haven't got an underlying condition, it's not going to kill you. If you're not obese, people with asthma, people with the real killers are coronary heart disease and diabetes. Those are the killers in combination with the virus. So be alert. The Federal Reserve has capped aid to stocks that are doing dividends, and they have banned buybacks by U.S. banks. They don't want their aid to go back into the pockets of bankers, and that's good. Here's the most interesting story of the day, and I think it tells us everything. In fact, I'm going to make this the business story of the day, brought to you by Birch Gold. Birch Gold is a great sponsor of this program. They help you diversify your portfolio into precious metals and silvers, especially your retirement accounts. All you have to do is send my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Text Hugh to 474747 or go to HughGold.com. Whether you want to buy precious metals for your own physical possession, some of you like to do that and put it in the safety deposit box, or you want to take your $100,000 in retirement and put 10% or 15% or 20% into actual gold metal bars that are locked up in a depository that Birch Gold manages. They've got the highest rating from the Better Business Bureau. You can trust Birch Gold. They're not a fly-by-night group. They've just been doing this for years. It's blocking and tackling of wealth preservation. Gold this morning is at, I haven't even checked the gold price this morning because I still believe, it's up to $1,774. Oh, I wish you'd bought at $1,400. I wish your savings would now be up 30% if you'd bought at $1,400. But $1,774, it's still rock solid. Oh, it's at the top of the market. I don't know. What's Amazon at? Amazon closed yesterday at $2,754. I was telling you it's the only stock I bought back at $1,500. I think it's a $4,000 stock. And this is why. Here's the story and why inflation is coming and why gold might be your best choice. Nike sales dragged down by store closures. That's the headline in the Wall Street Journal. You think, oh, bad news on the way. Nike sales fell 38% in the last quarter because of the closure of their very cool stores, right? People like Nike stores. But read a little bit on. Chief Executive John Donahue said Nike had reopened most of its stores globally. They may have to reclose some just like Apple has done, and benefited from its digital apps and online sales, which grew 75% in one quarter. Therein lies the story of the American economy. We have not stopped buying. We have continued to consume. We have continued to generate wealth. We have continued to give ourselves those things, whether it's Lululemon workout pants or Nike shoes or a vacation to a remote island where you can canoe. We have continued to drive places. We're not flying as much, but we are consuming. Americans are consumers. Now, you can bemoan that sort of an economy. You can wish that more people tithed and gave to the poor and gave to their religious institutions. You can ask for all those things, but you still have got to look at the facts. And the facts is what we have is the forced march of the American economy online. It was gradually taking place, a slow, long ramp as people aged out who preferred to shop in stores, enjoyed the experience. Well, they now have learned to enjoy the experience sometimes collectively going shopping online with a friend via connected devices. And when I see that Nike sales fell 38%, but their online sales went up 75%. I say to myself, this is going to go on and on and on. I tweeted earlier, Costco, Walmart, Target, Amazon. Boy, if I'm buckling down for the future. I'm not a financial advisor. I didn't stay in a Holiday Inn, and the only stock I ever buy one at a time is Amazon. And that's because Amazon's got AWS, the cloud business. I just think that's unlimited. But those online retailers, maybe Nike's made it into the group, too, because of their ability to switch online. The big brands, but I like people that sell a lot of things. That's Costco, Walmart. I wish there was a fund that had Target, Walmart, Costco, and Amazon in it. That would be easy to follow. Like I say, I only follow one thing at a time. But the business story of the day, online to stay. The virus will eventually be defeated. Probably by this time next year, the virus will be, vaccine will be widespread. The therapeutics will caught up. I had an interesting conversation yesterday with a veteran of the media industry, one of the very best reporters out there. You know this reporter by sight. Long talk. We are both of the same age, early 60s. We're both in great shape. And we both intend to stay that way. And we socially distance. We went to a restaurant last night, Fetching Mrs. Hugh and I did. Patio restaurant, got there early, in a corner by ourselves, one server interaction, had a wonderful dinner and left. Wore our masks as we walked around people, but we are ourselves feeling great, doing our miles, our workouts, we spent a lot of time staying in shape. And my reporter friend said they do the same thing. They're the couple, the husband and the wife, they do the same thing because they don't want to get the disease because every day the therapeutics get better. Every day we're closer to a vaccine. So the longer you can postpone getting the virus, the better. But young people realize it's a miserable 2 weeks. Their calculation, it's a miserable 2 weeks at max. Maybe I'll get the asymptomatic kind. So there are three kinds. Asymptomatic, bad, stay at home and suffer for 2 weeks, and the stuff that puts you in the hospital. If you go in the hospital, you might die if you've got coronary heart disease and diabetes below that. I don't know what the rules are for asthma. I don't want to chance it. But the older you are, the less you've got to fight with. You're already got underlying conditions that are terrible. But we know about this. We know everything about this disease. They can reopen Texas and they can say to the 20, 30, and 40-year-olds, come on out. They can reopen schools. There's a rebellion brewing in Northern Virginia, which I caught wind of yesterday, where they've said, we're going to open schools 2 days a week. And long-distance learning. And the parents are banging off the roof. They can't do that. Well, you know what that's driven by? Teachers union. Older teachers justifiably don't want to go to work. Well, school districts, furlough them. And maybe you give them benefits. I don't know what the teachers' contracts are. But you don't want to bring 65-year-old teachers to work. Do what Hillsdale College is going to do. All the kids are coming back. The young teachers are going to teach in the classroom. And the old teachers are going to teach by remote Zoom. I mean, this is not hard. And you say, well, the old teachers aren't very good in the classroom anyway. Well, that's because you've got a teachers union that is blocking the education of your children. The idea of not doing school, now that we know with great certainty that only the tiniest number of kids get this disease, the Kawasaki syndrome-like disease, it's in the hundreds across the entire United States. We know the kids are safe. It is far more destructive of their life to keep them out of school for a year. And some of them need a classroom. If you've got a mom or dad at home who know what they're doing and can do homeschooling, that's great. But if they haven't got a mom or dad, or if they've got a chaotic home environment, or they're not eating at home and they need their federally funded school food, keeping them out of school is just ruining their life. And school districts have to realize their job is not to take care of teachers' unions. Their job is those kids. And they will. There are going to be some interesting school board elections this fall. Because if your schools are closed, throw them out. Just throw them all out. They got to sit down with the union and say, this is the way it's happening. Go on strike if you want. Let the world see you're protecting your older teachers at the cost of these younger children. And that's exactly what's happening in Fairfax County, Virginia. And it will not stand. They will have to bend because that is just criminal to the children. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Friday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Spotify's 50 Great Songs of Summer includes Jesse's Girl, Don't Ask Me Why. Spotify thinks that's... There are some people out there that make all their money on one song and you hear it forever, but then you can't imagine the song not existing. Pretty Woman was played last night on the patio where we were having dinner, and I looked at the fetching Miss Hewitt, and I said, can you imagine Pretty Woman not existing? And I don't even want to tell you who I had to step in for on that song. Let me tell you, going back to my earlier story brought to you by Birch Gold, I didn't finish the punchline. Earlier this year, an analyst at Piper Miber, April, after the first round of COVID numbers came in, an analyst with Jefferies said Amazon was going to go to $4,000 a share. Amazon is at, I don't want to mislead you, I think it's at $2,750, but I'm not sure. I don't know it offhand. Let me look here. It is at $27.54, up $20 yesterday. So the street yesterday unleashed this story on you. For Amazon's core e-commerce business, all signs point to a big second quarter. They had a big first quarter, which marks the first one that overlapped entirely with the COVID-19 pandemic. An increase in demand for home delivery should deliver a major boost to Amazon's top line. On average, analysts polled by FactSet are expecting overall revenue of $80.6 billion for the quarter ending June 30th, up from $63.4 billion in the first year quarter. But don't get your hopes up, the writer says, for a corresponding boost in profits, wrote Wedbush analyst Michael Pachter in a note this week. He raised his price target for Amazon to $3,050 from $2,750. But, he says, they're going to spend all the money on improvements, not on profits. Guess what? I invest in Amazon. I don't want them to spend. I don't want them to give dividends to people. I want them to build infrastructure. I want them to buy airplanes. I want them to build warehouses, especially in Warren, Ohio, if you're lifting Jeff Bezos. There's a huge opportunity in Warren, Ohio, to go put an Amazon plant or an Amazon distribution center. But they're growing. Amazon shares are up 45%. To year to date, and they closed up 0.7% yesterday. And, I don't know what they're going to do during the course of the day. I don't make predictions. I'm not the prophet or a son of a prophet or Costco or Walmart or Target. All I know is COVID is forcing the most productive change in American economy. The great advantage of a disease like this is to accelerate the trends in the economy, which are going to long-term increase the productivity of the American worker. They don't have that in the People's Republic of China. They do not have that in the European Union. They've got that here, whether it's driverless cars, FedEx, Amazon, Costco, Target, Walmart. We've got that. We've got the infrastructure. We've got the colleges and the sciences. There's an upside to everything, and there's an upside to this virus. The only downside is Joe Biden, because he could kill this thing. He could kill this thing dead. Here is Donald Trump last night on The Hannity Show, talking about Joe Biden and the fact that he just does not appear to have the capacity to be president, cut number 22.
But my most important job is to run this country great. I built it once so great. Turn it off. Now we're doing it again. And it's happening.
And you're ready to roll.
It's going to be better than ever. But here's the thing. I've got to do that, folks. You know, this is serious business. We can't have somebody. That's a mistake. That's not a mistake. That's a serious error. When he says he's running for the U.S. Senate, that's a serious error. When he says, I'm going to beat Joe Biden, which got very little coverage. That's not like an error. Gee, it's a slip up. That's a serious error. So when you just told me that, I hadn't heard that. That just happened, I guess.
Yes, it did.
That's a serious error. That's not a permissible type of error because there's something going on. And
there is something going on. Cut number 27. This is what the president says will happen under Biden. Cut number 27.
He is a candidate that will destroy this country. And he may not do it himself. He will be run by a radical fringe group of lunatics that will destroy our country. And people have to know that.
The election is a choice between surging economic growth back to the blue collar boom that Trump did once, that the Chinese destroyed and he's doing a second time, or incoherence, absolute incoherence at the top, and radical leftists running every agency with their 6,000 jobs that they'll hold. Radical leftists, AOC and the squad take over the government. That's the choice on the ballot. Joe Biden is a figurehead and not a particularly compelling figurehead. Stay tuned, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Unnecessarily, now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. That's Joe Biden. Just wanted to let Sonny Bunch know that whatever he's recommending, there are 120 million fewer Americans to watch it, according to Joe Biden yesterday. Sonny, how are you?
Good. Sad. Mourning the 120 million.
The 120 million gone overnight. It's been a bad, at 120,000, it's pretty bad as it is, but 120 million overnight, it's just pretty remarkable. Joe Biden is on top of everything. I wonder if you talked to him about what he watches on TV, because I got to find that news channel that's cluing him in.
Yeah, no, I am myself in mourning the theatrical schedule. Yesterday Warner Brothers said that they're pushing Tenet back to August 12th. The new Christopher Nolan movie. So that's going to get pushed back. Mulan will be pushed back. I'm guessing a bunch of other stuff will be pushed back as well.
They're getting more pushed back than my dates with the homecoming queen in high school. They never happened.
We're just never going to see new movies again. It's interesting. I mean, in Dallas, there are a couple theaters open. One of them is the Cinemark 17, which is a nice little chain. But what they have in theaters, let me just read to you. They've got Back to the Future. They've got Jaws. They've got Space Jam, Wonder Woman, Get Out, Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Matrix, Mad Max, Fury Road, Blade Runner. It's a bunch of old movies and they're good. And I am kind of tempted, frankly, to go just to go to the movie theater. But at the same time, I can't imagine that there are a ton of people, especially as, COVID cases continue to rise. Now we're not quite at 120 million dead, but as the numbers keep ticking up, I don't see a ton of people going to go see those movies. And if there's nothing new in the movie theaters, and if stuff keeps getting pushed back, I don't know what's going to happen here.
It's got a horrible side effect too, which is all the Hollywood people tweet more. And they're the dumbest people on the planet. That is a side effect we haven't talked about yet. What has Netflix picked up the slack here? Is Amazon Prime coming through? What do we hear from Hulu? Disney doing anything?
Well, there are a couple of new movies out this weekend that are let's call them a simulacrum of Hollywood movies, right? They're on Netflix. You've got a new Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams film.
So, can I stop you for one second? When you use the word simulacrum, the Steelers fan thinks somebody broke their leg. They think the fibula, tibula, and the simulacrum are all together. Would you please not do that? We have Steelers people in Pittsburgh listening this morning.
It's simulacrum. It's like a simulation. How about that?
That's close. Because they thought the simulacrum was way down on the thigh bone or something.
We do have two essentially simulations of new movies out this week for people who are desperate for something new and something theater like. We'll go with Netflix first. So Netflix has a movie out starring Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams called Eurovision, The Story of Fire Saga. And it's essentially a parody film about the Eurovision contest in Europe. Are you familiar with Eurovision?
Not a lick. I can spell it.
Eurovision. So Eurovision is basically, it's kind of like nationalist American Idol, where you have a bunch, every European country sends one act to wherever the thing is being hosted that year. And the winner, you know, wins some sort of recording contract or whatever, but also it's just a national pride sort of thing, right? Like the winning country is filled and imbued with pride. It's massively popular in Europe. It's viewed.
This could be a mockumentary. Like, is this a mockumentary by Christopher Nolan?
No. It's not exactly like a Christopher Guest style mockumentary. It's really just like a straight up parody of this. So, you know,
Christopher Guest. That's what I'm saying. Like first in show and that, not Christopher Nolan, Batman, Christopher Guest. It's not one of those.
It's not one of those. No,
oh, rats.
It's just a comedy. It's just a comedy. You know, look, your tolerance for this movie is going to depend on how much you like the goofy songs and the goofy performances. And I know a lot of people who really are into the Eurovision thing, and I don't want to judge them, but they're weird.
Not judge, but how long have they been off their rocker?
They're weirdos, right? Like, it's a show that it's very, very popular in Europe, but here in America, we look askance at that sort of thing.
We definitely know that, don't we? By the way, my lower third right now says I'm Sonny Bunch. So I just want you to know the lower third on our YouTube channel shows I'm Sonny Bunch. That's terrific.
That's great. This movie is fine. It's kind of funny. If you're into the whole Eurovision thing, I think you'll find it much funnier. I am not, and so I did not find it that funny. And Will Ferrell's appeal can be limited if you're not into exactly what he's doing in any given movie.
Is he better than Holmes and Sherlock?
Well, that movie was terrible, though. I feel like
my wife laughed through the whole thing. She's embarrassed by it. She's the only person in America who laughed because she loved putting Queen Victoria in the trunk. She's the only person in America that liked that movie.
It's not a good movie, though.
It's terrible. She embarrassed all of us. She laughed so loud because she's a slapstick person. There are some people on this planet who believe in slapstick. She thought Ace Ventura, Pet Detective was the funniest thing she'd ever seen.
Well, I did, too, but I was 10.
Yes, well, that's
so,
what,
you know,
that, no telling. That, a woman of high taste and refined talent, but nevertheless, there are people who are slapstick out there. What is the other offering? Because Eurovision's not going to get a lot of this audience, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, look, I give it a soft recommend. Again, if you're into the goofiness of Eurovision, you'll kind of like this. But it wasn't really for me. Amazon. So there's a movie called My Spy, which stars Dave Bautista. Who is best known as probably Drax, the very literal guardian from Guardians of the Galaxy. He's also a wrestler.
Oh, I love Drax. He's so cool.
I like Dave Bautista. I think he's actually an interested and underrated actor. He's very good in the opening moments of Blade Runner 2049. He's in the opening scene of that movie. He plays a droid, whatever they're called. I forget. A replicant who has run away and is hunted down, but he has a very specific body size, and that specific body size is like trapezoidal.
Yes.
Right? He's basically a walking trapezoid.
Yes.
Which again, there are things that this works very well for. For instance, as Drax.
Yes.
And he is now going through his funny Arnold Schwarzenegger phase, I guess. Because he's in this movie, My Spy. He was in another one a couple of last year, where he played a cop who hijacked an Uber, who you know had to solve a crime while being driven around by the Uber guy, who was played by Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh yes, I like that show.
Stuber. That was what that movie was called. So My Spy is him. He's watching after a small girl who discovers that he is a CIA agent, and the small girl demands to be taught the mysteries of the CIA, and it's very funny and fish out of watery, this is the intent.
You know, I think I saw some previews for this.
Well, let me tell you, Hugh, you've been seeing previews for this movie for the last 2 years.
Okay, good.
This movie was supposed to come out in early 2019, January of 2019, and the studio behind it, STX, kept pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back, and it was supposed to come out, essentially, I think it was supposed to come out the week after the COVID lockdown started. So then it got pushed back again. Eventually, STX just sold it to Amazon for some amount of money. Who knows? And it is finally,
There's Amazon again. 18 months later,
it is premiering on Prime Video. And again, this is like a simulation of a Hollywood movie. It's a movie that was going to be in theaters.
It's going to make a bazillion dollars, Sonny. Mark my words. I spent the first half of the show talking about how Amazon is the great beneficiary of the move online for everything, the stay-at-home movement, COVID. Now they're producing movies on Amazon Prime, which are original, in this case, My Spy. And so a stock that was at 2,000 at the beginning of this is going to be at 4,000 at the end of this. It's going to double in value because of small things like this are cumulative.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating that the Amazon Prime video service, and this is going to be weird and businessy, so just bear with me for a second. But the Amazon Prime video service is weirdly underutilized. So, more than half of households in America have Amazon Prime. But I don't know what percentage of them understand that this also comes with a free streaming video service, right?
Oh, interesting. And I use it all the time. I use it all the time, too. Yeah.
I use it all the time, too. Like, for instance, right now you can watch Knives Out, which was just in theaters.
Yep.
That's free on it. A movie called Crawl, which was a horror movie about an alligator attack that takes place during a hurricane, which, again, like sounds like the most ridiculous thing, but was one of Quentin Tarantino's favorite movies of last year, is free on Prime right now. But, like, anyway, and now they have My Spy. So, like, I think what they're doing with My Spy is they're trying to remind people that they have this whole free video streaming service that is almost essentially just a total bonus and add-on to the service that brings them their goods within, 24 to 48 hours, right? Like, it is not the thing that most people sign up to Amazon Prime for, but it is a thing that will help them stay there.
How did they get a control of My Spy?
They just bought it from STX. So, like, the distributor is a company called STX. STX, I think, realized they have something of a stinker on their hands here, and it's not good. It's funny. I got something to do this weekend.
So, Sonny, big question. They're sitting on $80 billion of profit in one quarter. I just did the Amazon story. I always disclose I own Amazon stock. They made $80 billion. Can they go out and buy all of these languishing releases and throw them up on Amazon Prime and increase the number, the last 10% of America that hadn't become Amazon Prime members yet?
Well, the answer to that is yes, they could. I mean, they'd be better off just buying Warner Brothers or buying a studio, frankly, and using whatever they have already made if they're going to do that. Because the studios don't want to unload their content because, once they start doing that, they're going to have nothing to put out once theaters do.
Which studios are for sale?
Well, technically, everything is for sale, Hugh. Everything
is
for sale at all times. So, if Amazon, it would be interesting to see what would happen if Amazon went to Warner Brothers and said, we want to buy. But the thing is, it's all through conglomerates now, right? So they would have to go to Time Warner, right? They would have to go to Time Warner, AOL. Yahoo, whatever.
Jeff Bezos is the one guy in America other than Trump whose phone calls are always returned, and he actually may get more than Trump does. Sonny Bunch, at Sonny Bunch on Twitter. I hope you have your podcast soon. Thank you, Sonny. I'm watching My Spy on Amazon Prime this weekend thanks to Sonny Bunch. I'm also taking, here's our resident movie film critic. Come back, Tarzana Joe, the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show is next. Joined now by Tarzana Joe, the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, you and yourself. How are you?
Terrific.
Well, should we get to the poem? I guess we should. In all the Sturm und Drama that we're seeing on the streets, there's proof of that old axiom that history repeats. The tearing down of statues is nothing really new. From age to age to age to age, it's what destroyers do. To those who think this trivial and protest like this harmless, go see that statue in the Louvre. You know, the one that's armless. Once it stood for beauty and a culture with no peers, then lost and buried in the ground for some 2,000 years. By every mark of excellence and artistry we measure, what could have persuaded men to topple such a treasure? Ask them to explain, although you know they truly can't, for overturning Lincoln, a Cervantes, or a Grant. Perhaps atop a henge of stone a great colossus stood. It might have shared its secrets, if now it only could. But in some untold story, another seized the crown, the mob was set on fire, and it all came crashing down. Of all the sacred verities that man has ever stated, from reservoirs of thoughtlessness is ignorance created. That's Ozymandias II by Tarzana Joe.
Did you know, Joe, that they toppled a Wisconsin, a statue to a Wisconsin Union man who had fought against slavery his entire life?
A Norwegian immigrant, much to the distress of my wife, of Norwegian stock.
I did not know that, but I hope she is she descended from the young man?
No, she's not.
No family. I just think it's complete ignorance, as you say in the poem. Ignorance is abroad in the land.
And it's not bliss.
No, it is not bliss. Tarzana Joe, well said. Are you taking commissions at TarzanaJoe.com?
Very busy week, Hugh. A very busy week. So I think the country's opening up for poetry.
Oh, that's good news. You can get yours done by writing Joe at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. Rates are reasonable. TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, you.
Now, you know that Joe Biden was out on the campaign trail yesterday. He came out of the basement, but it's not really coming. He didn't take any questions, but he still managed to make news. You just have to hear this again. Cut number 17, Joe Biden in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, yesterday.
Unnecessarily, now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
All right, so Joe's sitting there, sitting, hey, we got 120 million dead from COVID. Of course, that's nuts. And Sean Hannity asked President Trump about this last night, and President Trump said this, cut 22.
I love people.
Yeah.
But my most important job is to run this country great. I built it once so great. Turn it off, now we're doing it again. And it's happening.
And you're ready to roll.
It's going to be better than ever. But here's the thing. I've got to do that, folks. You know, this is serious business. We can't have somebody. That's a mistake. That's not a mistake. That's a serious error. When he says he's running for the U.S. Senate, that's a serious error. When he says, I'm going to beat Joe Biden, which got very little coverage. That's not like an error. Gee, it's a slip up. That's a serious error. So when you just told me that, I hadn't heard that. That just happened, I guess.
Yes, it did.
That's a serious error. That's not a permissible type of error because there's something going on. And we can't take that. You know, it's wonderful to say, gee, I feel sorry or it's too bad, because I do. Except we're talking about the presidency of the United States. And
he's being gentle. The president's being gentle. But you and I know what he's talking about. And you can't. They got to swap him out. They just have to swap out Joe Biden. Yeah, he's leading in the polls. But the idea of electing someone, I mean, 120 million people dead, unaware of that. And it's not a one off. It is again and again and again. Nevertheless, when you hear 120 million, I don't want you to be freaked out. Flattenthefear.com, all right? Don't forget that. Flattenthefear.com is a project of our wonderful sponsor, JobCreatorsNetwork.com, put together by Bernie Marcus, the founder of Home Depot, co-founder of Home Depot. And he and his boys and girls over at flattenthefear.com want you to get all the statistics, all of them, on where it is safe to go, what it is safe to do. I should call them men and women. I'm just talking about colloquialism, but I'm afraid that media matters. They've got emo at work saying Hugh Hewitt called Bernie Sanders boys and girls. Media matters. I don't even know if they're still alive. I hope they are. I hope they're fine over there, but I haven't heard from them in a while. They've given up trying to bother me, I think, because we know that emo can't bother me. But what does bother me is people who overreact to the virus. It is not a threat to you if you're young. You may get sick unless you have an underlying condition. It's not a threat to school children. They should be back in school in the fall with teachers under the age of 50. It's a threat if you're over 65, if you're fat, if you are heart disease ridden, if you've got diabetes, stay away from people. But other than that, go to flattenthefear.com because data matters. Data matters. I also want to tell all of you Larry Elder's movie. It is so provocatively titled in order to get your attention, UncleTom.com. Uncle Tom, or go to SalemNow.com. There's a big headline over at HughHewitt.com. Larry Elder has interviewed every black conservative he could find in America of prominence and asked them what it's like to be an African-American conservative. Put it all together in an hour, 40-long-minute movie that has broken every record you could possibly imagine. Because Joe Biden, when he said, if you're not voting for Joe Biden, you ain't black, that's not true. And there's no movie like Uncle Tom. These people are not afraid to be called Uncle Tom because they believe in freedom. Larry Elder has done a great service. Go and watch Uncle Tom. Do so via HughHewitt.com. You'll find yourself amazed at the courage of these African-American conservatives and at their willingness to take a stand. Come right back. Hour number two of the Hugh Hewitt Show is straight ahead.